Our text today is Psalm 23. Now, I've been preaching recently on the flock of God, and I've been preaching it from John 10, but recently I was wondering where I was going to take this for this study. And Jack said quite a lot of things I was intending to talk about last Sunday, and that shepherded me into no other way. I had no other way to go then but what to talk about sheep, Psalm 23. So here we are. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Now I have to start by an acknowledgement. When I face with a text like this, my first reaction actually is to look on the internet to find how preachers have taken this text and brought it to life. And almost the first person I came across was a Dr. Peter Masters of Metropolitan Tabernacle, and I didn't need after that. It was such a clear vision. I just couldn't recover from it. it was like I'll never read Psalm 23 the same ever again, I think. But I must acknowledge indebtedness to him through what I'm about to say. And this psalm, I was thinking about the flock of God, and what I wanted to do is to see it look through the eyes of a sheep, to see us as sheep, you see. And that's what this psalm does, and we find at the same time it's a serious, dark context. If you look at verse 4, you see we're in the valley of the shadow of death. Verse 5, we're in the presence of our enemies. Verse 6, it talks about all the days of our life. There's some serious, dark context here that we've got to look at very carefully. And of course, you could look at this valley of the shadow of death, as I often done actually before now, as the end of our lives, you know, when death is especially threatening to us. And that was the way it reminded me of my father. A few years ago, we were with him in the last few weeks of his life. And he was a very lonely, frightened man through that period. And I think this reading of the psalm as an end-of-life situation is valid. And but, you know, we can assume too much, can't we? Surely every day, we don't know when our end of life experience is going to be, when we go to glory. We don't know that. Every day, really, the shadow of death affects us. It's in the periphery of our vision. Our thoughts occasionally stray. What would happen if, you know? And it's not morbid to think that. It's logical. For we live in such a... our lives are so fragile, aren't they? Each one of us, you know, we see Steffi driving off in the morning and you half wonder, you know, hope she'll be all right. You know, it's all in the Lord's hands, isn't it? But we're in the shadow of death our whole life through. That's my point. And taking my dad as an example again, my mum and Anna and I were with him most of the time over the last days of his life. But spiritually speaking, he was completely alone. He was completely alone through that time. No one could be in the place he was. We could hold his hand, we could sit next to him and talk to him, but there was that gulf between us. He was totally alone. And the valley of the shadow of death is a lonely place, I'll tell you. I picture it as a deep, narrow, it could be translated a ravine. A ravine, I want to picture it. And it's so narrow that only one sheep can pass down it at a time. It's too narrow for you. You can't go with anybody else through this valley. You're on your own, really. It's your faith. It's your deeds. The judgment is solely on you. You enter alone and you leave it alone. And it's a lonely place. Secondly, I think you've got to say it's a dangerous place. We're in the presence of our enemies. They're all around. Temptation and displays of open sin are all around us every day, aren't they? They're a part of our surroundings. And the evil one fires flaming darts. Paul warns us in Ephesians 6, doesn't he, that you've got to put on the whole armour of God, because this is a place of battle where we are. The attack can come from any direction at any time. There are flaming darts flying. There are snares and pitfalls. Peter warns us that the devil goes around like a roaring lion, doesn't he? 1 Peter 4:6. He's never far away, so we've got to be sober and vigilant in this place, because the valley is dangerous. And thirdly, I have to say, the valley is a place without real rest. We can't stop here. There's no place to build a little mansion, a little house. No, we can't. We're continually reminded in Scripture that we have to watch and pray. Jesus told his disciples to do that. Because all the days of our life, we're in the presence of our enemies. And days are short things, aren't they? They fly by one after another. And we can't put down roots or take things with us. Everything in the valley has got to be left in the valley. We brought nothing in, we take nothing out. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, we have to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and run with endurance the race set before us. It's a race. We have to keep going. Simon reminded us that we need to press on, don't we? Philippians 3:12, not that I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. We've been Christ laid hold on us so we can press on, because time is short. We have to make the most of it. We have to redeem the day. So it's not our home here. We have to press on. But you see, that's of course only half the story, isn't it? That's the darker half of the story. Because above the ravine, whenever we look up, the sun is shining. You see, the valley of the shadow of death is indeed a lonely place. My father was very alone. But we're not. We're not alone. If you can say with me, the Lord is my shepherd, you are not alone in the valley. Because the Lord is with you, the Good Shepherd is with you every moment. Why, the Good Shepherd identified with us so much, he actually came down into this very valley as a lamb himself. He came to be set upon by wolves. He was completely alone. Not even his father was with him. He laid down his life for us sheep, so he could. John 10:18 says, Jesus tells us that he had authority to lay it down. God gave him authority to come in this world as a little lamb, not to open his mouth, but to be killed by the wolves. But you see, I had authority to take it up again. He had authority to lay it down, authority to take it up, and now he lives again to be our shepherd, so that we are not alone in this valley. The valley is a dangerous place, yes, but it's not so dangerous for us, you see. Although we've got to watch and we've got to pray. But you see, we may fear no evil because the shepherd is here with us, as it says. He is a rod to protect us from the evil one. He has a staff to guide us. You know, he's told us in John 20 that no one can snatch us out of his Father's hand. No one. Spiritually, we're in good hands. We are safe, even in this valley, amongst all its dangers. And there's It's true, there's no final rest, is there, in this ravine. We are indeed passing through. But you know, the Lord allows us to lie down, even here, in green pastures. For we can rest in Him. You know, we can take our burden to Him in Matthew 11:30. He says, His burden is light. We could take our anxieties to Him and lay them at His feet. And we get perfect peace. And we're told in this, He'll restore our soul, it says in this psalm. You see, the ravine is very dry, dry as dust. There's no food here. But, you know, our shepherd leads us beside still waters. He holds the water of life before us in this place. It's the only real place to drink. And He bids us drink. For John 4:14 says, whoever drinks the water I give, there will be a fountain of water welling up to eternal life. That's amazing. We have water, vast reservoirs of water here that the world knows nothing about. Even here, in the presence of our enemies, even here, a spiritual banquet is prepared before us. The finest food, the best wine, the most wholesome bread is placed before us. With our enemies looking on, even perhaps because our enemies are here, you get the feeling God is actually borrowing from our enemies to create spiritual food for us. The experiences don't just pass over us, they enrich us. All things work to good to those who love the Lord. Romans 8:28, as we all know. And He arranges these things according to His purpose, to those called according to His purpose. And we know that He's called us. The vision the parable in John 10 talks about the shepherd Jesus going to the large sheepfold in the morning and calling His sheep. And there the sheep would have been brought the previous night, and they'd all be led into this huge enclosure. And in the morning, each shepherd would come and call his sheep by name. And so that you can imagine thousands of sheep there, and shepherd Jesus calling you, each name, each sheep looks up, trots over. We're called just like that out of this world, called to follow Him. And He leads then. He'll just leave the fold, and this flock will follow Him. We've been called, and we've been called to follow. And that's good, you say. Oh, surely it's pretty easy then. We're saved. No more to say. Easy peasy. Well, you know, lots of animals are mentioned in the Bible. There's lions and eagles and ants and cattle. But you see, only sheep are repeatedly compared to the people of God. And that ought to make us think, because we often imagine we're brave lions or eagles floating on the wind, you know, or wise old owls, but we're not. We're really sheep. And sheep are actually pretty stupid, that they're very stubborn, and of course they're proverbially prone to stray, aren't they? They're prone to stray, and that's what we're really like. You know, so daily we have to take stock. We have to reflect upon what we are. We are sheep, and we need to repent of our waywardness. We need to recognize those things within us that are sheep-like, our own stubborn wills. And we just pray that God will put those to flight, and He will take over. But, you know, in return for our submission and humility, He will anoint our head with oil. That's His promise in this psalm. He's going to anoint our head with oil. And that is power from on high to face the foes and the problems of this valley floor, this ravine we're in. And He has the authority, you know, to do that. And our cup will just overflow with joy at times because of Him, His Spirit and His Word that He pours within us. And it's a joy so remote from this place, because there's not much joy in the floor of this ravine, I'll tell you. There's none, except that comes from above. And we all know that the fast-flowing days of our life, as they speed by, you know, goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. Every one. He is there, even if we don't feel it. His goodness and mercy will still be with us. And it just doesn't stop there, because it will go through all the days of our life, as it said, and it will go on into eternity, where we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen and amen and amen.